Leon.
Please be attentive. This is Charles Chandler. I am reopening the hearing process in the FRM matter, so-called, as called by the New Hampshire Secretary of State on October 5th, 2010. I have asked for a reopening today to introduce into evidence certain documents and sworn testimony that has been secured during my deliberations. I'm asking for these documents to complete my academic understanding of some components of this process that has been incomplete, and I have recognized as incomplete as I have gone through my deliberations. I'm also going to ask for sworn testimony from an attorney from the Bureau of Securities Regulation this morning on a matter, so that I can again develop a more complete picture of what occurred. The first thing I'd like to start with is, unless Attorney Forcey or Attorney Spill have any preliminary matters that of which I am not aware.
I have the documents that you asked to put on the record, but we can hold on that and do the witnesses first if you'd like.
No, I would like very much to start with the documents. The first document I want to accept is I solicited interrogatories of former banking commissioner Peter Hildreth.
And as you know, there was three additional questions that were asked that have not yet been returned.
I'm fully aware of that. I'm going to accept these interrogatories, introduce them into evidence, and enter them in the evidence log, and they are going to be documents. They're going to be number 123. They'll be identified as the Hildreth interrogatories. Mr. Forcey, you have additional documents for me.
As you recall, I tried to present to you the deposition of Scott Farah in January 14, 2011 and January 18, 2011. You asked me to hold off on it because there was no signatures and the 30 days was nearing.
That's
where
correct.
It deemed waived. I have these for you now in the sense that you would like them.
The 30 days having been passed, I'm going to accept those. Both of those are going to be marked as Exhibit 124. And they're going to be marked as the Scott Farah bankruptcy deposition.
As you recall, Mr. Chandler, Ronnie Stone testified at the last hearing, and he had indicated that he had a deposition of himself for his civil lawsuit that you asked him to provide to you.
I did.
He has done so with a cover letter that's been notarized, indicating that this is, in fact, a true document.
Okay, let me have a look at that before I accept it.
Sure.
I'm going to accept the deposition of Ronnie Stone. It'll be number 125, and we will call it just that, the Ronnie Stone deposition. And that is 125.
The next item I have here is, at one point you did accept the Articles of Incorporation of Financial Resources and Assistance of the Lakes Region, the name it had in 1989. in looking over the documents on the exhibits, I found the articles of incorporation and accompanying documents to be incomplete. So I have here for you all the articles of incorporations, any restated articles of incorporations, as well as the yearly annual report that FRA submitted to the Corporations Department Division.
For the record, Attorney Forcia, will you tell me your sources for these documents?
I went to the division, the Corporation Division, and just asked for the research information. They printed it out for me, and that's here for you.
Corporation Division of the New Hampshire Office of the Secretary of State, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
I personally did that,
yes.
I'm going to accept this as item number 26, and we're going to mark this as corporate records of FRM and predecessors.
I have the incorporation paperwork filed with the state of Nevada for CLNM. This includes the original articles of incorporation, as well as the, I believe, the annual reports. Yes, the annual reports, or one annual report, the most recent annual report. I'll let you review it, but this is I called the Secretary of State's office in Nevada and was faxed this information.
You personally?
I personally called
documents.
Yep.
Accept this as 127. We'll designate this corporate records of CLNM.
I also have the articles of incorporation, as well as the most recent annual report filed with the State of New Hampshire Corporations Division on Dodge Financial Incorporated.
Once again, you retrieved that.
I did.
Yourself. I'll accept this as 128, and it's going to be corporate records of Dodge Financial.
I have the articles of incorporation for Great Land Project Development, Inc., also State of New Hampshire Corporations Division. I retrieved this myself.
Okay.
And then also the most recent annual report.
I'm going to allow this to be marked as 129, and we will call it corporate records of Great Land I guess that we better call it Great Land Project Development.
I have two statements from Mark Connolly, former director of Securities Bureau. These are signed by him. You had asked me to get the signatures, and I have them both signed here. One, the first one here is the correction for his interpretation of the interview memorandum from the Department of Justice. He, paragraph by paragraph, explains to you what he feels was accurately reflected in that memorandum and what was inconsistent. The second statement is Mr. Connolly's interpretations of the failure to supervise finding that the DOJ report had about the hearings officer in the FRM matter here at the Bureau.
Let me ask you, Mr. Forsey, before I look at these, had I seen these before and suggested that because of an absence of a signature, I was not willing to accept these?
That's not the exact reason, actually. You were willing to accept the first one, which was the correction of the correction for the record of the Attorney General memorandum. However, the second one was an email form to me, and you asked that it be not an email form and signed by him. So I took them both back just to get them both signed at your direction. But that was the reason.
Okay. Well, clearly, I have, with but one exception, not accepted emails, and I continue not to accept any emails. For the record, the one exception was an email involving a person who had passed away. Bear with me. Mr. Forster, do you have in your possession the document with an original signature on this?
I received that via fax, so I do not.
Once again, the rules of evidence do not strictly apply to this hearing process. I'm going to accept these two documents. I'm going to ask that both of them be marked as 130, and they will be marked as Mark Connolly responses. I'm going to ask you, Attorney Forsier, if, in addition to the receipt of these documents via fax, at the time of that transmittal, can you represent to me that you had a conversation with Mark Connolly and was advised by him that he was, in fact, faxing these to you?
I had a conversation through email, not on the phone. Thank you.
I've accepted those as evidence, and again, it's always to what extent there is probative value.
Is there a form in which I can get that letter that'll make it of more weight to you, or is there anything else I can do to?
There are things, and that's exactly what I'm pondering right now.
I would ask you, how difficult is it to reach Mr. Connolly? Do you have any idea?
I don't believe it'd be very difficult.
I'm going to ask you to have a conversation with Mr. Connolly.
By email?
No. And then, by offer of proof, disclose to me, if you can, as a result of that conversation, that in fact he emailed those to you, and that is a facsimile copy of his signature at the bottom.
The entire document was faxed, yeah.
Yeah.
I received it by email at first, and then I told him he needed to sign it, and then he faxed me the second time around.
Right.
But I will have that conversation with
him. I want you to be able to tell me that there's a high degree of confidence that this, in fact, came from Mark Connolly. I don't doubt that it did, but I want that confirmed, and I think it's essential for me to hear from you via offer of proof that you have had a discussion, not an email discussion in quotes.
I will do that.
With Mr. Connolly.
My only concern about that is, do you want a representation that I had that conversation on the record? Because are we opening another day? Or?
We may very well be opening another day. We have a technological glitch in one component of testimony, and I may yet, even though I drove here today thinking this was it, we may yet be, in essence, forced to open for re-entry of the testimony of an individual who I view as critical in this process.
Do you have a day in mind now that we'd like to schedule?
I do not. I have a potential conflict. I would love it to be Monday, but I'm not sure I'm able to do that. It'll be next week, I guarantee you that.
Okay.
Assuming the individual whose testimony I'm seeking to reintroduce is available.
The next document I have for you, as you know, you accepted as part of your record the Department of Justice's FRM report.
I did.
And by doing so, you incorporated all the exhibits that were attached to it.
I did.
I don't believe the consent agreement that the Bureau had with FRM was one of the exhibits, as well as several other relevant documents. But in my research, I did not see that the Department of Justice report included the settlement the Bureau had with Gary Coyne, which happened prior to the settlement the Bureau had with FRM and Scott Farah, or FRA and Scott Farah at the time. So I wanted to give this to you just in order to be complete, that you had this as well. My only issue with this particular document is it only has Gary Coyne's signature. It does not have Mark Connolly's. I was not able to find the one that had Mark Connolly's signature on it, but this is signed by Gary Coyne and dated October.
Is it fair to say that Mr. Spill played a critical role in that settlement process?
Yes.
Could I ask Mr. Spill then to identify the document as being the document that reflects the settlement with Gary Coyne?
Sure.
This is the document.
Okay. Under those conditions then, fortunate that we have Mr. Spill here, that I will accept it. And this will be marked as number 131. And we're going to call this BSR consent order with Gary Coyne.
The next document I have for you is a letter addressed to the New Hampshire Banking Commission. It is from a Charles Vos. As you may recall, you had some testimony throughout these proceedings about loans to Chad Vos or the Harbor portfolio. This letter, as you will read, indicates that somebody from the banking department must have reached out to Mr. Vose shortly after FRM's collapse. And this letter is his recollection of his dealings with financial resources and Scott Fair. Specifically, he says in this letter that he never received any money from FRM or Scott Fair, and he also says in here that Scott Farah or FRM never had the authority to raise capital on his behalf.
Okay. Where did you find this letter, Mr.
I had a conversation, a telephone conversation with Charles Vose. I tracked him down in Texas, had a conversation with him about it. He told me that he had already provided a letter to the banking commission and he'd be happy to provide it to me, and he did so, I believe, via email attachment.
But you personally had the conversation with Mr. Vose.
I did, and the substance of the conversation is reflected in the letter that he provided to.
Okay. I'm going to accept it. Let me differentiate for the record my acceptance of this letter. I'm not accepting email correspondence between individuals. I am accepting an email, what appears to be an email of a document that was otherwise transmitted to a governmental agency. Is that a fair characterization in your opinion, Mr. Forcia?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And Mr. Vose represented to you, this is the letter that went to banking.
Correct. The date that the letter is dated is the letter. Correct.
I'm going to accept that as number 132. And we're going to call that the Charles Vose banking letter. Okay.
The next item I have for you is, I wasn't sure if this was part of the record. Maybe you can tell me otherwise. I don't believe it is at this point, but a March 9th, 2000 complaint filed with the Bureau of Securities Regulation in the form of a letter from attorney Christopher Lent on behalf of his client. This is the only complaint that the Bureau of Securities received on FRM, FRA, or any of its successor entities. I wanted you to have a hard copy of that. I would be willing to bet that it may be part of the DOJ report. I didn't look very much for it, but I wanted to make sure you had it. So I wanted to give you that.
My recollection is, Mr. Forcia, that it is part of the record, but this is what I would characterize as the Lattice letter.
The Lattice complaint, correct. It very well may be part of the record, but I just had a suspicion that
in the exercise of caution, I don't mind being a little duplicitous here. So I'm going to accept this as 133. And you secured this from the files of the Bureau of Security Regulation, is that correct?
Yes.
You secured it.
I did.
Thank you. And let's characterize, I'm going to characterize this as the Lattice complaint letter. Recognizing it may, in fact, be duplicitous. I think it is, but there's no harm in that.
The last item I have for you here is a referral sent to Mark Connolly on March 11, 2008 from the New Hampshire Banking Department. Essentially, it says that New Hampshire Banking Department does not have jurisdiction over the complaint that they had, this letter here that they sent to us, and they said that since it addresses a transaction for a property in Arizona, they're unable to conduct an investigation. If you look at the actual letter, which is attached to this transmittal letter, you'll see that it's a complaint letter to the banking department from an individual, and you'll see that there are several footnotes referring to documents that were submitted with this letter to the banking. However, when this letter was provided through the Bureau of Securities Regulation, none of the documents that purport to be attached to this letter were attached to it. In other words, banking gave us a copy, a referral of this letter, but did not refer the accompanying documents.
And you know how that there were no attachments? How do you know that?
How do I know that the attachments didn't come with? In the file, when I turn this off, this is all that was there. And If you look at the footnotes that talk about other documents, I could not locate any of those documents in the file. And to satisfy my curiosity as to what happened to them, I spoke with other members of the Bureau, and they recall not getting those documents as well.
I can recant for you.
Please do.
How that was handled.
Okay, I do.
My recollection, and I think my recollection on this is pretty good, is that we just had the complaint letter, and I attempted by reaching out to the complainant to find out more about this, and I sent several letters to him. His name is Johnstone, and he didn't respond. And I also reached out to Attorney Maloney to see if he could explain what this is all about. Basically, what it was is this individual was a borrower in a secured mortgage, and he was complaining to banking that he wasn't given the funding he was promised. And what I received back from Mr. Maloney was a copy of a secured note. So having not heard back from Mr. Johnson and looking at a secured note and having asked Mr. Johnson whether we felt we had jurisdiction and not receiving an answer, I concluded that we didn't have jurisdiction.
And we being the Bureau.
The Bureau.
Okay.
And I didn't further it from that point forward. The matter was closed and was filed separately, and we had to actually reconstruct the file because we couldn't locate the original file.
What's the date of this?
This came into the Bureau sometime in March of 08. But the complaint documents that Mr. Forsey is presenting to you are not the actual complaint documents we received. We had to reconstruct the file after the collapse of financial resources, so they're not date stamped, but the actual complaint that we got that referred to us from banking would, if we had it, would be date stamped.
Okay.
But my recollection is that the date on this referral letter is accurate, that it was handled sometime in March of 08. So by looking through the file of the Gallagher Law Firm and recontacting banking, we were able to reconstruct the file.
Okay.
Also, with that exhibit, Michelle, if you could just, these are all the letters that Mr. Spill had, communications with Attorney Maloney, as well as the attempted communications with the complainant.
Let me understand this, Mr. Spill. Your jurisdictional issue was that what we had was a note secured by a mortgage on real estate, therefore not under the purview of the Bureau of Securities Regulation, and not necessarily the fact that the transaction involved Arizona property. Have I mischaracterized that?
I didn't bother to contact banking to determine why they referred it to us. I just followed it up
okay.
as best I could. And having not heard back from Mr. Johnson and having a secured loan in front of me and basically a complaint saying, as borrower, I didn't get the funding for this loan, I assumed that the problem had corrected itself, and that's why Mr. Johnson hadn't contacted me. And having not having jurisdiction over a secured loan, I determined that it was satisfactorily, the follow-up was satisfactorily completed.
But you determined, nonetheless, you did not have jurisdiction over this matter.
Yes.
Okay. That's my point of that.
I throughout this process had maintained, and we had introduced to you various pieces of documentation, which we felt portrayed our position all along.
And not I understand that.
And not something that was constructed after the collapse.
Oh, no. Right? I absolutely understand that. Well, then I'm going to accept these as one package. And we're going to this will be 134, and we will characterize this as the banking referral of 311-2008. Anything else, Mr. Forsey?
We do have another employee of the Bureau of Security Regulation who has done some research at your direction and would like to present to you a couple of affidavits.
I would like that. Just a pause. We're on. Okay, we're back on the record, continuing the FRM hearing matter, so-called. This is the 25th of March, 2011. Again, I am Charles Chandler. I have just received into evidence a substantial amount of documentary evidence, much of what was requested by me from the Bureau, and I believe now we're about to... Mr. Teft. Mr. Teft, I believe that you have testified before in these proceedings. Is that correct?
Yes.
And an oath was administered to you, and I'm going to remind you again that you remain under oath. And for the record, would you again this morning restate your name and spelling your last name, and just again for the record state your place of employment.
My name is Carvel Teft. The last name is spelled T-E, double F as in Frank, and then T again. And I'm employed by the New Hampshire Bureau of Securities Regulation.
Mr. Teft, have you, at my request, prepared an analysis and an affidavit for me?
I have.
And would you explain for the record what that is and what that shows?
Yes. I have two affidavits. Both have to do with lender testimony that previously was heard here. And in one instance, the first instance, it's regarding contact during the 2007 and 8 timeframes with the Bureau by lenders. And two lenders testified that besides contacting the AG's office, the banking department, and the Better Business Bureau, they alleged that they also made contact with the Bureau of Securities Regulation in accomplishing their due diligence in discovery of any issues with FRM. And I went ahead and did my own investigation with the Bureau. The current staff at the Bureau, which includes people that answer phones and who are staff attorneys and enforcement attorneys, and others, administrative, were here between 2007 and 2008. So it was easy for me to make contact with them and talk with them directly about this. And this first affidavit basically says that, to our recollection, no contact was made by any lender to the Bureau during that time frame. And I have this signed by Jeffrey Spill, Barry Glennon, Kevin Moquin, and myself, and notarized. The first one.
I'll accept that as a, we'll list that as number 135, affidavit of Carvel Teft. Okay.
The second one is an examination of the Better Business Bureau, just to better understand what a lender could have found out when doing their, accomplishing their due diligence about FRM. And I made a telephone call to the president and CEO of the Better Business Bureau on March 18th. And the gentleman's name is Mr. Robert Schumpf, and I believe he testified here before you. I wasn't here for it. And so I don't know all the questions he was asked, but the essence of this is that the Bureau was interested in the kinds of things that a lender could have found out. And he, Mr. Schumpf, explained to me basically the relationship between any business that wishes to sign, if you will, up with the VVB accreditation service, and what kinds of information from a market conduct standpoint that they would hold. And in the case of financial resources, they were even able to tell me how many inquiries were made over the past 36 months. And there were over 1,700 inquiries. So that validates, if you will, the testimony of our lenders that many of them made contact with the Better Business Bureau about FRM. The majority of those happened right after FRM closed, but quite a few, 20 to 30 each and every month during 2009, there were a steady stream of them. So they were also being questioned asked about FRM before FRM closed their doors. So this was this is testimony by me to you about my telephone conversation in specifically about the kinds of information that lenders could have found from the Better Business Bureau.
Let's let the record be absolutely clear. You conducted that interview of Mr. Schumpf at my request, is that correct?
That's correct.
There was some
correct.
Discussion, and I asked if you would do that, and you did, and this represents the results of the my request to you to make that inquiry.
Exactly right.
Okay. And this will be number 136, and we're going to call this the BBB follow-up interview. Okay, good.
And I have no other requests.
Yeah, you may, but at this point, thank you very much, Mr. Teft. I genuinely appreciate the extra effort you have made. Helps me greatly.
Thank you.
Mr. Forcia, do you have anything additional?
No, sir.
Okay. I do. Mr. Spill is here. Mr. Spill, as you're very well aware, I am in the process of preparing my findings of fact and report to the New Hampshire Secretary of State. In my deliberations of that, I find some gaps in understanding, one of which is significant to me, extremely significant to me. I am advised that you can help me understand that gap, and that involves the Bureau's resolution of a hearing process whereby you exercise jurisdiction over
Scott Farah and I probably will get the corporate characterization wrong, FRM or its predecessor, and came to a financial solution involving securities. Do you you understand exactly what I'm? You will frame it better than I. My query goes to my understanding of methodology of payment of investors. I am concerned that I do not understand how the investors were paid as a result of the exercise of jurisdiction by the Bureau. Can you help me understand, if you know, how that occurred?
A check was written from Financial Resources to the investor. His shares, a note was surrendered. And a copy of the check was sent to our office along with a cover letter saying that the following debt that on the company's books was retired.
Do you recall how many investors there were in this settlement process?
And keep in mind, some of them had, before the Bureau went back up in 2006 and during our reexamination of the situation, he had continued to retire that debt based upon the advice of his counsel and his accountant. And so those transactions he would have handled on his own. But when we reached settlement, that's when he provided documentation to the Bureau. And I think by that point, the debt had been substantially reduced. And so the number of investors at that point, at the time of settlement, would have been minimal. Maybe four or five were left.
But without exception, would it be your test recollection and testimony today that those four or five were universally paid by a check?
Yes.
Is that correct?
Written on the account of Financial Resources. And I believe in some instances the check was made out to not the investor but the Pensco Trust because the money had been drawn. I can check that, but the money had been drawn.
No, that's okay, because the reason for my questioning and the reason for this is as I contemplated the testimony that I have heard, I felt a gap, that there was a possibility that Mr. Farah rolled an investor into a non-investment mortgage note secured by a mortgage in one of his multiple projects. And really what I want to find is, did that occur? And your answer to me is that did not occur.
It didn't occur as a result of the settlement reached with the state. I think it occurred on his. I think that's something he did on his own in 2005.
Subsequent to settlement, it could have occurred.
No, but certainly I think as before the settlement it occurred, but not after the settlement. I think he had, based upon our examination, our investigation, some of the note holders had been rolled into mortgages and subdivision and real estate development projects prior to the Bureau revisiting repayment of investors. So that's something he would have done on his own.
Okay, I understand that. But let's be absolutely clear that with the exercise of jurisdiction of the Bureau, you didn't see in those four or five investors anything other than payment by check.
Correct.
Is that
absolutely
correct?
Yeah, I was unaware of this rolling over that took place.
And you wouldn't be aware. Is it fair to say that you wouldn't be aware because that didn't become part of the settlement process?
That and we, as we've portrayed all along, we weren't looking at the real estate activities, the mortgage activities of Financial Resources.
Fair enough. I'm clear on that. Mr. Forsinger, Mr. Spill, anything additional this morning?
No.
Okay. I'm going to conclude the hearing and on the record again let people know that we may very well be reopening next Tuesday. In any event, it is highly likely there will be one more reopening of this hearing process. I hope it's Tuesday. You'll be notified via the website of the Bureau of Securities. We're getting close. Adjourned.